little droid. He claims to be the property of an Obi-Wan Kenobi. I think my uncle knows him. He said he was dead.
Oh, he's not dead. Not yet.
You know him?
Well, of course I know him. He's me.
You fought in the Clone Wars?
Yes. I was once a Jedi Knight, the same as your father.
I wish I'd known him.
He was the best star pilot in the galaxy. And a cunning warrior. I understand you've become quite a good pilot yourself. And he was a good friend. Which reminds me, I have something here for you. Your father wanted you to have this when you were old enough, but your uncle wouldn't allow it. He feared you might follow old Obi-Wan on some damn fool idealistic crusade like your father did.
Sir, if you'll not be needing me, I'll close down for a while.
Sure, go ahead. What is it?
Your father's lightsaber. This is the weapon of a Jedi Knight. Not as clumsy or random as a blaster. An elegant weapon for a more civilized age. For over 1,000 generations, the Jedi Knights were the guardians of peace and justice in the Old Republic. Before the Dark Times. Before the Empire.
How did my father die?
A young Jedi named Darth Vader, who was a pupil of mine until he turned to evil, helped the Empire hunt down and destroy the Jedi Knights. He betrayed and murdered your father. Now the Jedi are all but extinct. Vader was seduced by the dark side of the Force.
The Force?
And the Force is what gives the Jedi his power. It's an energy field created by all living things. It surrounds us and penetrates us. It binds the galaxy together. Now, let's see if we can't figure out what you are, my little friend. And where you come from.
I thought part of the message you were...
I seem to have found it.
General Kenobi, years ago you served my father in the Clone Wars. Now he begs you to help him in his struggle against the Empire. I regret that I'm unable to present my father's request to you in person, but my ship has fallen under attack, and I'm afraid my mission to bring you to Alderaan has failed. I have placed information vital to the survival of the Rebellion into the memory systems of this R2 unit. My father should know how to retrieve it. If he cannot, however, you must give to him these passwords. Mystery Playhouse...
Giver of its work...
There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station. We are controlling the transmission. We control the volume.
We can change the tone to a fuzzy bass.
Or focus it to a tinny treble.
We can speed things up so fast you can hardly understand what's being said.
Or we can make things so slow you don't care.
We control the content. We can make it boring.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive. It's our show. We can do anything we want, because this is...
Mystery Playhouse. 90.1.
This is the BBC Light Programme. History for schools. Question one, how do you spell C-A-T?
Cat.
Question two, name two English queens called Elizabeth.
Jim.
Question three, what is the Goon Show's first name and give an example of?
That's a trick question, Wallace.
And so here is a trick answer entitled The Histories of Pliny the Elder.
And so in the year XL111 BC, Julius Caesar set foot on the British shore and was greeted by the natives.
Oh, hello.
Vini, vidi, vici. Eh? I came, I saw, I conquered.
Oh. Fine, fine. Well, I'm just going in for a dip. Give the old kippers a steam. Ho-ho!
Brutus Mariatus, seize that Briton and prepare him for a life of slavery.
Ave 6-2, Caesar. Cave! Here comes another Charlie Britannicus.
When you tramp, tramping along the high road, with it fast all upside down.
Who cares?
Gad, he's up early.
He must be one of the early Britons.
Quiet, you few-month centurion. Tell the men to pull the galley ashore, quickly.
I've ended straight away.
Ah, good morning.
I do. I see your boat's all loaded up. Go in now, the lighthouse.
You savage English fool. This is the Imperial Julius Caesar. We are Romans. Prepare yourself for combatus.
Right, all right, all right, right. Ah, go and get our lads together. Only being Sunday, they'll be in the pubs, you know.
So the Romans want to take the field against us, do they?
That's right, Britannicus. They're very keen to have a do with us, you know.
Oh.
And you never know. We might win.
Win? No, we mustn't. We don't want to spoil our record.
Well, what'll I tell them, then?
Well, tell them to put their goal on the edge of the cliffs. That'll give their goalie a bit of a rough time, won't it?
You don't care, do you? Righto, kick off 2:30, then.
Splendid, splendid. Oh, yeah, all right, yeah.
And so the Britons in their blue woad took the field before the might of the Roman army.
Brutus Mariatus here. What kind of army is this that takes the field in blue jerseys with a ball at their feet?
Must be some kind of trickers. Look, they're forming up.
That must be their signal to attack.
Forward, men, advance us!
I say, they're
oh,
a rough,
here.
They're a rough lot, these Romans, you know.
What? What's this? Why have we stopped for?
Rough play, that's what we stopped for, I'll tell you, boy. Every time I come up the wing, your outside right swaps at me with a dirty big sword.
Hey, what is all this hold-up about?
Well, rough play, that's what this...
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, and then, Jack.
Yeah.
We don't know with all this javelin practice when the ball's in play. And another thing, you're only allowed 11 men on the field. I've counted 693 of yours so far.
All right, I'll send one off.
Right. Hey, on!
The result, Romans 900, England 3. War stop play.
Like a mighty octopus, the legions of Rome spread across England. For 10 years, Caesar ruled with an iron hand, then with a wooden foot, and finally with a piece of string. How much of this could Britain take?
Oh, Caesar, I come to sing melodies divine to you.
Sing on, proud minstrel.
Thank you. Oh, Caesar is on board. Speaking of a greater in a fool. A gentleman every inch of him, from his feet to his head of a brown.
Mariatus,
This man is a bit of a crawler. Why does he follow such a profession, Mario?
For money, Caesar. He tells me he wants to die rich.
And so he shall. Give him this sack of gold and then strangle him.
Yes, Caesar. I see that 10 years in Britain have not changed your imperial Roman outlook, Caesar.
True, Mariatus. All was a Roman eye.
Will you take wine?
No, thanks. I think I'll have a half of mild and a packet of crisps.
Caesar, Caesar.
Oh, it's Stomachus Croesus.
Caesar, there is an angry rabble outside. We have their leader captive.
Is he bound?
Of his health, I know not, sir.
Bring him hither, sir.
Take your hand off me. You want to catch something? Ah, so you're Julius Caesar, eh?
Caesar is all things to all men.
Oh, it must be hell in there. Senator, Senator. Look here, Mr. Caesar. We've just discovered why you've been here 10 years. You've conquered us.
Well?
Well, get out, I mean, get out. Or we shall ban midweek matches and midweek cigarettes as well.
Beware, Britannicus Bloodnucus. The gods are angry.
I know, I've just been hit by a rotten tomato. Oh, the bird, the bird.
Why don't you stop him, Julius Caesar?
How can I when I'm playing the part of Bloodnuck?
Now, listen. Now, listen us. For this rebellion, Bloodnuckus, you will be thrown to the wolves.
Not that team, no. I'm a London man, please.
Good, Britannicus. You have one alternative.
What?
You'll be freed, providing you give us 4 good men for the Colosseum Games in Rome.
Yes, I got some likely English Charlies who would suit you perfectly. They were very successful at the Scottish Games.
Did they do well?
Very well. They managed to get away with their lives, you know.
Very well. Deliver those men to Caesar's royal barge at XXI in a half hour tomorrow.
I'll do that. And here is the first one, Maxeltius Galdrascus.
I hope he does better than that.
Thank you.
And so, some months later, a Roman slave galley drew nigh to Ostia.
In!
Oh, out!
Oh.
In!
Oh.
Out!
Oh.
In!
Oh, make
have
up
you
your
ever
mind.
Read a gallery before, Achilles?
Is that what we're doing?
Yes.
Oh, no, I've never done this before.
Faster, you dogs!
He wants our dogs to go faster.
Silence, you scum!
He wants our scum to go silent.
Or do you want a taste of the lash?
No, thanks. I just have some cocoa.
Oh, look, they're bringing a new slave from the reserve.
Goody!
Let me go, you devils! How dare you? Take your hands off me! Oh, how dare you chain me to this oar? I shall write to the Times about this. Jim
Shut
Prince.
Up, you. It was perfectly quiet until you came along. You're not the only man chained to the oars, you know.
Now, listen to me, all of you.
All of me is listening to you.
I'm the Welsh chieftain, Caractacus Seagull. Caractacus. I, for one, will never surrender to the might of Rome. I'll fight them uphill and down, Mrs. Dale.
Wait a minute. How did I take you prisoner, then?
I was in the bath. And one day a year, they could catch me with my socks off.
Must have been hell in there.
What are you going to do, then, Caractacus? How can we fall through these chains?
How?
How?
Yes. This evening, I received a cake from a friend. And guess what's inside?
You mean that?
Yes. Raisins.
It wasn't me, sir. It was Harold Pratt.
Stop the woman over there. More eggs, that's 10 feet and goes down.
Hey! You flicked my knee.
That night, the galley docked at Ostia, and the slaves were put up for auction.
All right. Now then, come on now. What am I bid for these three British-type slaves? Eglos, a lovely piece of property, claims to be descended from his father. No bids? Come on, anybody now.
Three dinars!
You fool, you're up for sale as well. There you are, a chap with initiative. All right, then. What about this last one? A pair of genuine English knees with a hat attached called Blue Buttonless. Can tie knots, rub two sticks together, and kill his grandmother.
I'll be 10,000 dinars a fee.
Sold,
Lou. This way, lads. I've seen him.
I say, this is dash decent of you to buy it. Who are you?
Me, I do all the bookings for the Colosseum.
I've seen them.
Oh, you've seen them, eh? The Colosseum. Could you get us a couple of tickets?
You won't need any.
Oh. What's on?
You are.
Am I?
There tonight, can I?
Better get the old Hobson's choice going, hadn't I? We'll keep our welcome in. I've done the palladium, you know.
I've got that lovely voice.
In the hillside. Me. Oh.
Lovely. Now try shouting help. So cunning, very useful.
Right, now you wait in there, boys. I'll tell you when it's your turn to go on. It'll be all
right. I say, what a wonderful agent that fellow is. My first night in Rome, and I've got a booking already. Oh, no, let's have a look at the program.
Oh, it's a good program.
Yeah.
What is the top of the bill?
Oh, it's got a lovely opening act. Let me see now. Captive East Finchley Boy Scout will fight four starving lions.
Oh. I do not like this lion game.
All right, baby.
Let me out of here.
You coward, Blue Bottle. Face it like a man.
Yes. Well, look at the encore there. Caractacus Seagoon will be strangled by a gorilla.
Oh, shut up. It was perfectly quiet till you came along.
It's not for you. You're a sailor and sailors don't care. Now, don't panic, everybody. I've got a plan. We'll overpower the guards.
Yes.
Right, I'll take my boots off.
Good. Now, we'll get the keys and make our way down to the Tiber.
What's the Tiber?
Abbas Dino.
That's what they want?
I don't wish to do this. Please.
I say, look here. I say.
Can leave this prison.
Hello, boys and girls.
Here comes the guard now. Take that! Oh! Right! Run for it!
Thank you. And now, Ray Ellingbaum.
You made me love you. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. You made me want you. And all the time you knew it. I guess you always knew it. You made me happy sometimes. You made me glad. But there were times, dear, you made me feel so bad. You naughty girl, you made me sigh, for I didn't want to tell you. I didn't want to tell you. I want some love, that's true. Yes, I do, indeed I do. You know I do. Give me, give me, give me. Ooh, what I cry for. You know you've got the brand of kisses I will die for. You know you made me love you. This can be love because I feel so well. No sorrows, no sorrows, no sighs. No, this can be love because I get a dizzy spell. My heart is not in the sky. My heart does not stand still just to hear it beat. This is too sweet to be love. This can be love because I feel so well. But still I love to look in your eyes. This can be love because I feel so well. No sobs, no sorrows, no sighs. Can't believe it, this can be love because I get no dizzy spell. My head is not in the sky. My heart does not stand still just to hear it beat. This is too sweet to be loved. This must be love because I love to lie in your arms. I used to have to come and walk all the time. Now I'm feeling mighty fine, yes sir. This is love. Yeah. Oh. Merci, madame.
Through the catacombs, our heroes managed to reach the great water pipe that runs under the Via Appia, known, of course, in the army as the famous Appia Pipe. All right, lads.
safe now.
Oh, wait a minute. Look, there's a manhole cover right above us.
Shine the beam of this candle on it.
Right.
I'll push it off. Eccles, stand on my shoulders and pull me up.
Okay. I'd like to see him do this on television.
Shall I put the manhole cover back now? Otherwise, if it rains, the hole will get wet.
No, leave it open. We don't want to lose the place. Shh, behind those bushes. Someone's coming, quick.
Look out.
Alexander Martha.
Little Jim.
Thank you again. Grab my hand, foot, ear, nose, and teeth.
I didn't see that hole, you know. You don't see him on the corners, you know.
Are you a Roman?
No, mate, in the gloaming, are you? My name's Hannibal. You seen any elephants running down the road?
Elephants? You must be General Hannibal of Carthage.
No, mate, I'm William Hannibal. I look short of the elephants at the Colosseum there. I'm a Battersea slave, mate, there.
How do you get captured?
Oh, yes, a lovely little boy.
Yeah,
well, it was my Saturday off, you see, and I was taking the dog for a ball, and this Roman fella come up and said, take your hat off, see, like that, and I does, and he said, that's a nasty lump on your bonce, and I said, where? And he said, there, and pointed it out with a dirty great club. When I come to, I feel me nut, and he was right. There was a dirty big lump on it, but it was too late by then. You see, I was carrying buckets for the elephants at the Colosseum.
But we are English-type slaves, too. Would you care to join us?
Why? Are you coming apart?
What's the year?
49 B.C.
That proves how old that gag is. That proves how old that gag is.
Yeah.
That proves how old that gag is.
I've got a little of white paper now. That proves how old you are, too. Ha, ha, ha.
Now you can put the lid on.
I'll tell you what, mate. A lot of our lads joined an escaped gladiola called Spartacus from Portugal. He comes only from Portugal, Spartacus, you know.
Where is he?
He's hiding in the hole at the top of Vesemruvarus.
Let's to him! I am Connecticut Seagull. I come from Wales.
I can see you don't come from sardines, Jim.
Lovely.
Thank you.
Hooray! Hooray!
I'll take you to Spartacus the Gladiola. Follow me.
don't come in, please. I'm just changing my knees. Right, right. Now.
Britannica of Bloodluckers, how did you get to Italy?
Ask the writers. I have no idea.
No idea.
Yes.
You are Spartacus?
Yes, I was forced to change my name, you see. I fell out with Caesar.
You fell out with Caesar?
Yes, sir.
How did that happen, us?
We were in a chariot and we hit a bump in the road. He went, oh.
It was me.
Come now.
It went, oh.
Come now. I want the truth for nothing but the truth.
Well, the truth is, how can I put it? You know that saying, Caesar's wife is above suspicion.
Yes.
Well, I put an end to all that rubbish. What a little beauty.
Are we safe here?
Are we safe?
Safe here?
My dear lad, we are actually inside the crater over an extinct volcano.
Thank heaven! Safe at last! I say, chaps! What? Hey, look! Oh. Look! Look! Oh.
Next week, History for Schools tells the story of the last days of Pompeii.
Well, is that the lot for the old series there, Walt?
Yep.
Right, round about for the old brandy there.
That was the last of the present series of The Goon Show, a BBC recorded program featuring Peter Sellers, Harry Secombe and Spike Finnegan, with the Ray Ellington Quartet, Max Geldray, and the orchestra conducted by Wally Stott. Script by Spike Milligan and Larry Stevens. Announcer, Wallace Kingslade. Bobby Jay has been on the mixing panel, and the special effects were supplied by Ian Cook and Ron Bilshay. The production was by Pat Dixon.
Deary me, wasn't that just horrible, The Goon Show? It's just terrible what those BBCites will do, especially back in the past. That's the old radio I remember when I was growing up. You know, around several hundred years old. Just a kid. Those years are so far gone, though. But that's neither here nor there. Right now, we've got a very special guest in the studio. The previously unknown but nevertheless scary Alfred Hitchcock, who is going to introduce Buck Rogers. Take it away, Alfie baby.
Hello and welcome. Oh, don't be frightened. It's still me, Alfred Hitchcock. This is merely a mask. All the talk about masquerading and poison gas in last week's exciting episode has led me to design the first ever poison gas masquerading mask. Allow me to show you all its exciting inner features.
It's right here. Ah, it gets hot in there. As you've no doubt noticed before, the outside has the disguise of a certain Captain Buck Rogers. Now, the inside is reversible to Lieutenant Will Madaring, provided, of course, that you remove the handy breathing apparatus to go on the inner side, that is, was, the outside. Now, the breathing apparatus instantly neutralizes all poison gas. You must be careful, however, not to reverse the breathing apparatus by accident, or else the poison gas is inhaled and the clean air is expelled. Good for the environment, but unfortunately fatal for the occupant. As you can see, however, I've clearly marked both sides with easy-to-see color codes, blue and green. Alas, I can't seem to remember which does what. Was it green for go or green makes you green? No, it was blue for clear blue sky. Or was it code blue? Well, there's always one way to find out.
If I'm alive when it's over, you'll know I figured correctly. Now, for the thrilling adventures of Buck Rogers in the 25th century.
Now, as you no doubt remember, Killer Kane and Ardela have set up headquarters on the moon of Saturn called Enceladus. They're organizing a huge space fleet with which they plan to conquer Earth and all the other major planets in our solar system. Meanwhile, Buck and Wilma, hot on their trail, have just reached the Saturnian moon called Themis. And there, from King Nax, they've learned of Kane and Ardela's whereabouts. Now, let's join them. Here we go, 500 years into the future.
Your Majesty, there's no question about it. The man over on the moon Enceladus is Killer Kane.
Yes, sir. And his masquerading as Buck here is just to get authority.
Then my calling him by radio just now was a good move.
You bet it was. I recognized his voice the minute he spoke to you. Now, our job is to get on over there and trap him and Ardela before they can find out we're anywhere around.
Do they know you're on their trail, Captain?
No. So we can take time enough to plan carefully.
Take time, Buck? The Dr. Hewer in their hands? Well, look, it'll be nightfall by the time we can get to Enceladus.
Wilma, the only reason we didn't trap them on Earth's moon is because we didn't plan our moves carefully enough.
But think of Dr. Hewer.
You see, Your Majesty, it was down there on our moon that they kidnapped Dr. Hewer. If we'd used our heads, we'd have got them instead.
What happened, Captain?
Well, they landed their rocket plane on the moon in plain sight. And we saw it from Earth and went right after them.
I see.
But when we landed beside it, put on spacesuits and went over to it, they jumped out from behind some rocks and flew off in our ship with Dr. Hewer as their prisoner.
You just now said they don't know you're trailing them. They must have realized you'd lose no time in following them.
Right, but they planted a poison gas generator in the control cabin of this ship. It was only by luck that we weren't done in.
I see. And their belief that you're dead is to your advantage.
Yes, sir. Now, you say that Kane is organizing a huge battle fleet.
All of our Saturnian moons are contributing to it.
That can mean only one thing. Conquest of Earth.
Really?
Now, come on, Wilma. Let's get our heads together and plan how... Hey, where is she?
Hmm? She was here just a moment ago, Captain.
Well, that's funny. Could you have gone into your office here? Wilma?
You're not there, Captain?
No, sir. She didn't get back into this rocket ship, did she? Wilma!
I don't believe so, Captain.
There's something screwy about this, King Max. Wilma! Hey, where are you?
Here's our plan for conquest in a nutshell, Ardela.
Right, Kane, go ahead.
In the first place, these Lunarians of Saturn, believing that we're Rogers and Wilma, have practically finished building a space fleet for us.
Mm-hmm. But what about the rocket fuel that was to come from the moon Themis?
All taken care of. King Max called me by radio.
Oh, fine.
Now, the space fleet is the biggest that has ever been assembled in one place, and to make things even better... Every pilot in the lot has pledged blind allegiance to Captain Buck Rogers. In other words, to me.
What'd you do? Go out and talk to them?
Not much. You and King Korax are still the only people on all the moons of Saturn who have seen me. And Korax, never having seen Rogers, believes that I'm he.
Well, King Nax tried hard enough to see you.
But he didn't. All I ask is that these people think I'm Rogers until we get our fleet of battle cruisers on the way to Earth. Then I don't care who knows our real identity. What's this?
You're not Captain Rogers at all, sir. Who are you?
Now, wait a minute, Korax. Just what's the trouble?
Why, you've misrepresented yourself. You're not Captain Rogers. And I insist that you tell me who you really are.
Very well. Close that door.
Yes, Captain.
Korax.
Yes?
My name is Kane. Killer Kane.
I've heard of you.
Now, speak up. How did you find out that I'm not Rogers?
Captain, Killer, that is.
Speak up!
Yes, sir. I sent one of my guards to Themis to check upon the production of rocket fuel, as you suggested.
Well?
The guard is a man who lived on Themis at the time Captain Rogers was here before, when the captain set up our present governmental system.
Yes, go on.
Well, he reported back to me less than 5 minutes ago, and he told me that he saw Captain Rogers land in a rocket plane there on Themis.
What?
Yes, sir.
Kane, we left a poison gas generator in that rocket plane to get rid of him and Wilma.
Lieutenant Wilma Deering is with him on Themis.
That's impossible. They're dead.
Oh, but my guard knew them well when they were here before, and he saw both of them step out of their rocket plane when it landed on the palace roof at Themis.
Where's that guard?
I threw him into prison.
Ha! Good for you.
But only to protect myself.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I realized how deeply I have become involved in this mad plan of yours. Rather than let the guard tell others where and how I've been deceived by you, I put him out of the way.
What do you intend doing now?
I don't know. Anything but continue to assist you in your mad conquests.
You're too late, Korax. You're more involved in this whole scheme than anyone else, even including myself. Now, even if you could back out, you'd be crazy to do so. For by staying with me, you can become one of the most wealthy and powerful men in the whole universe.
What? If only that could be true.
Would you have imagined a few days ago that our space fleet could be made ready for action in such a short time?
No.
But right now, it's the most powerful in the solar system. Any opposition to it, and that means to me, can result in but one thing. Instant and complete annihilation. In other words, Korax, you have no choice in the matter.
Yes, you're right. But I'm glad of it. I've seen what you can do, and I believe you in your promise for wealth and power.
That's the spirit.
I've had my taste of authority in ruling this little moon of Saturn. Now my power will extend throughout the whole solar system.
Absolutely.
After all, we can live for only once. Why shouldn't I get what I can for myself? Command me, Kane. I'm at your service.
Korax, we must first rid ourselves of the menace of Buck Rogers. Prepare the space fleet to invade Themis at once.
It shall be done. It shall be done.
Kane, you're marvelous.
I told you these people could be led around by their noses. What's more, if anything goes wrong, we simply pass the buck to Korax.
Kane, with Buck and Wilma around, the chances for something going wrong are plenty.
Yes, I know it. That's why I ordered Korax to have the space fleet made ready. Not to invade Themis, that would be foolish.
I should think so.
The point is that if Rogers doesn't know it already, sooner or later he's going to know that we're here. Therefore, he won't waste much time coming over here. But with our rocket fleet for protection, we'll be more than ready for him when he arrives.
Seems to me, Kane, we have an even more powerful weapon than the rocket fleet.
What?
A certain individual who's lying outside in our spaceship under the influence of a paralysis ray.
Dr. Hewer, of course.
Right.
Have you renewed his dose of the paralysis ray?
Not since just after we got here, but I gave him a mighty heavy shot of it.
Then he'll be all right. And we'll have him right in our hands if Rogers decides to continue on the
Doctor, are you all right now? Wilma, how did you get here?
We're in Kane's rocket ship, right back at his headquarters. How do you feel?
Why, pretty good. You must have given me an antidote for the paralysis, right?
Yes. I found it in the laboratory deck of this ship.
Wilma, this has been a nightmare. Kane and Adela have kept me under the influence of the ray practically all the time since they kidnapped me down there on the moon. When we first got here... We're still on the moon in some of us, aren't we?
Yes, Doctor. And Kane is in complete charge.
Oh, well, when we first got here, I almost completely recovered consciousness. But Adela was right here with the ray projector.
That's terrible.
In spite of the antidote, I still don't feel entirely right.
Just relax for a minute, then you'll feel better.
Well, tell me, how did you get here? Kane said something about a gas generator in the control cabin of that other ship.
It almost got us, but we discovered it before taking off our space suits.
Oh, thank heaven for that.
Then we started following Kane's rocket trail.
Oh, so that's how you learned he'd come here to Enceladus?
No, we didn't find that out until we got to the moon Themis.
Oh, I see.
But I was afraid Kane would learn that we'd got there and try to get away. That's why I didn't waste any time coming over here to get you before he could do anything about it.
Bless your heart, Wilma. But you've taken a terrible chance.
I know it, Doctor, but I couldn't leave you in their hands any longer.
Thank you, my dear.
Now, I came over here in a tiny space roadster, and it may have been seen. So, if you're feeling better, I'll take the controls of this ship, and we'll go right on back to Themis.
Yes. Yes, we'd better.
You see, by taking this ship, we leave Kane and Ardela without any way of escaping from Enceladus.
Splendid. Let's go immediately.
Right. Here we go.
Here you stay.
Hey, Kane.
Take your hands off those controls, Wilma.
Not much, Kane. You can't...
Shut up. Do as I tell you, or I'll pull the trigger of this rocket pistol.
All right.
Ah. You thought you'd meddle in our affairs again, huh? If you and Rogers and you are here had any sense, you'd have learned long ago to leave us alone. You've stuck your inquisitive nose into our business once too often, Wilma, dearie.
Now, our story so far has taken Buck and Wilma and Dr. Heuer to the city of Orr.
Ha! I had you worried there for a moment. You feared I had passed on. Well, in a matter of speaking, I had, for I had gone on and heard the exciting conclusion to this exciting Buck Rogers episode. Unfortunately, it was neither thrilling nor exciting. You see, Lieutenant Wilma Daring had tricked Killer Kane by using an invention the Dr. Heuer whipped up at the spur of the moment, a reversible mask that not only instantly neutralizes poison gas, but also makes her look like Captain Buck Rogers. Unfortunately, Killer Kane wanted to kill Buck as well, so it wasn't until Wilma reversed the mask that Killer Kane spared her life. It seems he wanted to discover how Alfred Hitchcock had gotten from the 20th century to the 21st century, and believing himself on the verge of one of the greatest discoveries of all time, he wasted enough of it to allow Buck to sneak up from behind the mask and knock him out cold. As for the Eva Ardella, she was overcome by the fumes from the poison gas neutralizer, which had accidentally been reversed in all the confusion. Well, I'd be two-faced to say it was actually worth listening to twice, so we'll skip over that episode to bring you next week's exciting adventure of Buck Rogers in the 25th century, that is, in the city of Orr. Until then, this is Alfred Hitchcock saying, ta.
1 week of every year is designated National Brotherhood Week. This is just one of many such weeks honoring various worthy causes. One of my favorites is National Make Fun of the Handicapped Week, which Frank Fontaine and Jerry Lewis are in charge of, as you know. During National Brotherhood Week, various special events are arranged to drive home the message of brotherhood. This year, for example, on the first day of the week, Malcolm X was killed, which gives you an idea of how effective the whole thing is. I'm sure we all agree that we ought to love one another, and I know there are people in the world who do not love their fellow human beings, and I hate people like that. Here's a song about National Brotherhood Week. The white folks hate the black folks, and the black folks hate the white folks. To hate all but the right folks is an old established rule. But during National Brotherhood Week, National Brotherhood Week, Lena Horne and Sheriff Clark are dancing cheek to cheek. It's fun to eulogize the people you despise, as long as you don't let them in your school. Oh, the poor folks hate the rich folks, and the rich folks hate the poor folks. All of my folks hate all of your folks. It's American as apple pie. But during National Brotherhood Week, National Brotherhood Week, New Yorkers love the Puerto Ricans 'cause it's very chic. Step up and shake the hand of someone you can't stand. You can tolerate him if you try. The Protestants hate the Catholics, and the Catholics hate the Protestants, and the Hindus hate the Muslims, and everybody hates the Jews. But during National Brotherhood Week, National Brotherhood Week, it's National Everyone Smile at One Anotherhood Week. Be nice to people who are inferior to you. It's only for a week, so have no fear. Be grateful that it doesn't last all year. A considerable amount of commotion was stirred up during the past year over the prospect of a multilateral force known to the headline writers as MLF. Much of this discussion took place during the baseball season, so the Chronicle may not have covered it, but... it did get a certain amount of publicity, and the basic idea was that
a bunch of us nations, the good guys, would get together on a joint nuclear deterrent force, including our current friends, like France, and our traditional friends, like Germany. Here's a song about that called the MLF Lullaby. Sleep, baby, sleep. In peace may you slumber. No danger lurks your sleep to encumber. We've got the missiles, peace to determine. And one of the fingers on the button will be German. Why shouldn't they have nuclear warheads? England says no, but they all are sore heads. I say a bygone should be a bygone. Let's make peace the way we did in Stanleyville and Saigon. Once all the Germans were warlike and mean, but that couldn't happen again. We taught them a lesson in 1918, and they've hardly bothered us since then. So sleep well, my darling, the Sandman can linger. We know our buddies won't give us the finger. Heil, hail, the Wehrmacht, I mean the Bundeswehr. Hail to our loyal ally. MLF will scare Brezhnev. I hope he is half as scared as I. During the last election, we had a good deal of fun back east following your senatorial contest out here. I'm from Massachusetts, and I feel we have a certain right to gloat over the other states because Massachusetts is, after all, the only state with three senators. Anyway, here's a salute to your new junior senator. Hollywood's often tried to mix show business with politics. From Helen Gahagan to Ronald Reagan. But Mr. Murphy is the star who's done the best by far. Oh, gee, it's great. At last we've got a senator who can really sing and dance. We can't expect America to win against its foes with no one in the Senate who can really tap his toes. The movies that you've seen on your television screen show his legislative talents at a glance. Should Americans pick crops? George says no, 'cause no one but a Mexican would stoop so low. And after all, even in Egypt, the pharaohs had to import Hebrew braceros. Think of all the musicals we have in store. Imagine Broadway Melody of 1984. Yes, now that he's a senator, he's really got the chance to give the public a song and dance. One type of song that has come into increasing prominence in recent months is the folk song of protest. You have to admire people who sing these songs. It takes a certain amount of courage to get up in a coffee house or a college auditorium and come out in favor of the things that everybody else in the audience is against, like peace and justice and brotherhood and so on. But the nicest thing about a protest song is that it makes you feel so good. I have a song here which I realize should be accompanied on a folk instrument, in which category the piano does not, alas, qualify. So imagine, if you will, that I am playing an 88-string guitar.
We are the Folk Song Army. Every one of us cares. We all hate poverty, war, and injustice, unlike the rest of you squares. There are innocuous folk songs, yeah, but we regard them with scorn. The folks who sing them have no social conscience. Why, they don't even care if Jimmy cracked corn. If you feel dissatisfaction, strum your frustrations away. Some people may prefer action, but give me a folk song any old day. The tune don't have to be clever, and it don't matter if you put a couple extra syllables into a line. It sounds more ethnic if it ain't good English, and it don't even gotta rhyme. Excuse me, rhyme. Remember the war against Franco. That's the kind where each of us belongs. Though he may have won all the battles, we had all the good songs. So join in the folk song army. Guitars are the weapons we bring to the fight against poverty, war, and injustice. Ready? Aim!
It's a lovely day in the world today, a wonderful day in the USA, and it's mine, yes, it's all mine, I am Mr. Reagan. Hi, how are you today? You know, it's a very difficult thing being chief executive. I'll just take off my jacket and shake out my bulletproof vest. Oh, my, that was a live one. It's a good thing no one was hurt this time. You know, today's a very special day. Do you know what today is?
KZSU, Stanford.
Sure, I'll bet you do. Today is First Strike Initiative Day. Can you say First Strike Initiative? Sure. Do you know what it means? It means I can push this button here and change the lives of people thousands of miles away in strange and foreign lands. Sure. And on this very special day, I'm sure I'll get a call from my very special friend on this very special phone right here. There it is. This is exciting. When was the last time you spoke to your very special friend? Hello? Oh, it's Mr. Brezhnev. Can you say Brezhnev? I can't either. I like to call him Mr. Bear. Now calm down, Mr. Bear. He's very excited. Remember, people can't understand you if you speak too fast or in Russian. Missiles, Mr. Bear? Well, I'll check the very special picture board. Yes, I see them. Missiles over Moscow. And you're sending your missiles? Oh, yes, I see them too. It's a very good thing to have a fair exchange, boys and girls. What? Well, goodbye to you. That's very polite. He said, das vidanya. Can you say, das vidanya? Well, you have 15 minutes to learn. I am Mr. Ray.
Others will perish. We'll be alive.
No more mountains. No more Zapadillo and Cola Nut. Come back, Jamaica. Come back, everybody.
That mankind's most feared nightmare became reality, but no one lived to see it. What remained of Earth was a burned-out cinder of smoke and ash that glowed in the dark. But there, sitting on a pile of rubble, a man, his clothes torn, his face darkened by smoke, he is the last man on Earth. And stepping out into the charred clearing, a woman. Though her clothes too are in tatters, her delicate beauty still shines through. Here are the last man and woman on Earth.
Hi, I'm Eve.
Hi, I'm Adam, and I love what's left of your dress.
They're gone. There's no more night and day. No pleasure and no fun.
They're gone.
There's no
say, dead?
That's one scary scenario, don't you think, Vampirella?
Oh, definitely a very, very spooky scenario, Count.
With all those people dead, where would we get our precious red V8 tools, nay?
Oh, you said it, you said it.
So scary, so scary. But we've got even more scary things in store for you. This and the fire sign theater. It's how can you be two places at once when you're not anywhere at all?
Oh, frightening.
On the count, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I'll take it. I can't wait to get away from it all.
Personal remote control, picture size, color TV with matching brass knob. Just reach above the bar and press the button right there under the handy laminated imitation mason at Wild West Gun Rack with a look of real wood for that. Sure.
Don't we do it in the road here at Rockport Motors here in the Denny of what tomorrow? Don't give it a go.
I like those colors. Isn't that nice?
Nice. Can you get UHF?
No, I don't believe in flying saucers.
Got
a little blue halo around my head.
Can I get a little more orange in his face?
Sure, right there.
Where, right?
No, move that.
Under the trigger here?
Yeah, that's right.
Wait a second, gotta get the safety off. Oh! Look at that blue horse.
Alright, yeah.
That's, I think I've
Look at the muscles on that dude. He's got muscles in his ear.
That's Steve Reeves.
No.
There.
No,
that's Steve.
That's Agnes Moorhead.
Oh yeah, I've seen this one.
This
Where's the bathroom?
Huh? Oh, right next to the radio. There, completely modulated with dual left and right stereo speakers in two compatible frequencies. Your AM.
$7
FM, right here.
FM over here? Uh-huh. Let me try it.
Oh, hop in your wife and head in any direction on the freeway of your choice, and we'll see you in a couple of hours here at Ralph Spoilsport Motors, the world's biggest, here in the city of fine music. Thanks for the insurrection, and now back to our morning concert and afternoon showtime favorites, the Magic Bowl Movement from Symphony in C Minor by Johann Amadeus Mateczki.
Hey, Ralph, it's great fidelity on that FM.
Well, listen, you haven't heard nothing yet. I've got right here this scarf for your transatlantic driving pleasure, this fully holographic Seamaster shortwave radio, which is non-returnable,
Can I get Duluth on it? Nice picture. I like it.
What?
I like it.
What? Wait a minute.
I said, Ralph.
Wait a minute. Let me turn off.
I like the car.
Get back to the pit. Turn this radio over here. Okay.
I'll get the TV.
No. Leave it on for a minute.
What has happened to your nose?
I just returned from Rome.
What?
Yeah, I have seen this before. Go ahead. Turn off.
What?
Well, that's it. Here's your keys. Goodbye, friends, and happy motoring back on the freeway, which is already in progress.
Well, here goes. Nice feel. Let's see. Oh, how can you be in two places at once when you're not anywhere at all? I think I'll give this old baby a spin on the freeway.
Wrong way. Entering freeway.
Here we go.
Emergency parking on. Merging buses ahead.
Giant slide, 19 holes, underground parking, Midden Hills Retirement Paradise, Whittler's own.
Easy
accent. Goldoni Avenue, half mile.
Pedometer check, 0.
Strasburg Lane, 1 mile.
Regency speedometer's only got half a mile on it.
5 in a shield and all, 2 miles.
Antelope Freeway North. I want to go north, or do I want to take the, let's see, the Gomorrah Expressway west?
Shadow Valley Condoms. If you lived here, you'd be home by now.
Antelope Hills, selected living, comfortable, easy, comfortable. Antelope Freeway, this lane, exit only.
Yeah, I think I'll take the old Antelope. Less traffic.
Easy street over. Antelope Freeway, 1 mile.
Clean up Armenia. Get a hairline.
Antelope Freeway, 1/2 mile.
Chile Avenue.
Let's see what they got
Antelope
in this
freeway,
car.
Freeway, 1/4 mile.
Let's see. We got
Antelope Freeway, 1/8 mile.
Lights, wipers,
Antelope
defrost.
Freeway, 1/16 mile.
Temperature and climate control.
Antelope Freeway, 1/32nd mile.
See what kind of climate I can get.
Antelope Freeway, 1/16 mile.
Winter Wonderland.
Antelope Freeway,
spring fever. Indian
Antelope
summer.
Freeway, 1/2 mile.
Tropical paradise. Tropical paradise. I think I'll give it a try. Wow! What a groove! A tropical paradise!
Well, of course you can.
But Daddy, I've lost the movie.
Oh,
Oh, that's all right. I've got an erector set.
Throw a towel over it.
Hey, what are you guys doing in my car?
The foxtrot. You can have the next dance. But throw him the fox.
Sick.
Yes, it is a catchy little number.
Uh-oh, I think he's caught it. Doctor, give him something for his
cough. All right, all right. Here's a quarter.
Oh, that's not much.
Not much of a cough.
I need a gas station. Did I pass one?
No, no, but the fox did. Squeeze him right there. Maybe he'll pass another one.
No, no. Gasoline.
Boy, if it's drugs you want, old doctor can help you.
Right this way.
Hey, get your hands off me. I don't want to leave.
Then roll up your arm and bend over. Do you want regular or premium?
Oh, this is ridiculous. You guys are nothing but a pack of cards.
Drink me. Eat me. Smoke me.
There must be some way out of this. I'll change the air. That's what I'll do. Let's see. What have I got left on the climate control? Dust storm?
Dust storm, no.
No. Tibetan wilderness?
Wilderness, no. You're being
Land of the
lost.
Pharaohs.
No,
Land
don't,
of the Pharaohs. That sounds great.
Don't do it.
All right, here we are in the land of the pharaohs.
Oh, no!
Well, we'll need to talk with the natives. Does anyone here know a little Egyptian?
Bill, come on. What?
Yes, come on, Bill.
Yes, yes, indeed. Was it... What? Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
That's wonderful.
Yes, a little Egyptian? Yes. A little Egyptian, yes. Everybody knows I'm mad. Served my every need. Did a grand job on my ankles, too.
Now, hold it right there.
Glad to. Now, I think I'll hold it over here.
Oh, boy, it's nice, isn't it?
Yes, I think you ought to leave it out.
Hey, look, fellas. Fun. Okay, but look, I gotta find a place to stay. It's gonna be night soon. I'm tired.
What's the matter with that dude?
I'm lost, and I want to go to bed.
Oh, my bony boy. In the Estonian mountains, we used to go to sleep leaning up against a windfall. I was but a mere prat then. I'll never forget the time a snake slithered into my wife. I wasn't but knee-high to a married grasshopper then.
No, look, that's all very interesting, but the sun is going down.
Oh, no, you're all confused. The horizon is moving up.
Hey, listen, come on, you guys, help me, please.
I know. Let's stand him on his head.
Here you go.
Hey,
push out. Easy, boy.
Ah, you see? Now it's morning.
Hey, won't somebody please help me?
Easy, my lad. At times of dexterity like this, my wee native compendium, Mohammed, used to pray to the divinities, his little brown froggy body a-quiver at my loins, chanting a stream of ancient Egyptian holograms.
What?
Diaphragm.
No.
I used to date.
Hieroglyphs, that's it. Do you remember any? Will they help? Anything at all?
Of course. Let's see. It was a jackal-headed woman with her eyes kimbo, a king sitting sideways on his throne, a drip with gold, chipped nose uplifted. Thusly. All engraven on a pyramid of massive size, with the body of a lion, paws that refreshes, a tale told by an idiot, and the head of a fox.
The pyramid is opening.
The one with the ever-widening hole in it.
I'm saved! I'm going in!
No, don't do that, son! It's dark and dirty in there!
Oh, but Mom!
It's full of bees and spiders! You might poke your eye out! Another father comes home!
I'm going in, Mom! There's a vacancy!
Good evening, sir. Welcome to the only nice motel in town. How long will you be with us?
Just for tonight.
Ah, very well, sir. You'll find it's very clean here. Just fill out this card.
Oh, thanks. Oh, look, it's dirty. Somebody's already used it. There's a name on it.
That's all right.
Well, I couldn't get you to believe my name is Mr. and Mrs. John Smith, could I?
Well, of course you could. It's nice to have you with us, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Front!
Huh?
Do you like horses?
Hello. Hey, I'm not really Mr. and Mrs. John Smith.
Yeah?
Oh.
You know what?
meaning if you get my drift.
Well, thanks, fellas, but I'm kind of tired. Hey, desk clerk, can I have my key, please?
Sure. What about G7? Hit it, Jimmy.
I can tell by the pound of your tie.
You're an American? Well, so am I.
Hi, Bob. How do you do?
And while we're on the subject, I'll see your wazoo.
What's that all about?
What's it all about, Mr. and Mrs. John Q. Smith from Anytown, USA?
Well, it's about this long.
And about that wide.
And it's about this country.
About which we're singing about.
I was born an American. I was raised an American. And I'll die an American. In America, with our Armenians.
Yes, we've got a lot of everything in this land of ours.
And a lot of places to put it in.
And maybe that's where you fit in. Mr. and Mrs. John Q. Smith from Anytown, USA.
Come on, big fella. Take this guitar, put on this wide belt and work shirt, and tell it like it was.
Give me that guitar. All right, everybody. It's a little song. Now, thank you very much. A little song I learned upstream in prison one day. Everybody sing along now. Ready now? This land is made of mountains. This land is made of mountains. This land is made of mud. This land is made of mud. This land has lots of everything. This land has lots of everything. For me and Elmer Fudd. For me and Elmer Fudd. This land has lots of trousers. This land has lots of trousers. Mousers. This land has lots of mousers. And pussycats to eat them when the sun goes down. Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. Thank you. Thank you.
It wasn't always like that.
No, first they had to come from little towns with strange names like
Smegma,
Spasmodic, Frog,
and the far-flung Isles of Langerhans.
But who were they?
Small oh, look! With hairy faces and burning feet. We were running away from poverty, intolerance, and the law
army. And the army.
And we took to them.
And they took to us.
And what do you think they took?
Oil from Canada, gold from Mexico, geese from the neighbor's backyard, boom, boom. Corn from the Indians, tobacco from the Indians, Dakota from the Indians, New Jersey from the Indians, New Hampshire from the Indians, New England from the Indians, New Delhi from the Indians.
Indonesia for the Indonesians!
Yes, Veterans Day.
But we couldn't do it alone.
Now we needed the hope, the faith, the prayers.
The sweat, the pain, the boils, the tears.
The broken bones.
The broken homes.
The total degradation of...
Who?
You. The little guy.
And across him all we flung one shining steel rail.
Rockefeller. Rockefeller. Rockefeller.
One shining steel rail from sea to mighty sea, from coast to mighty coast, from Bangor all the way to mighty Maine. So how about that, Mr. Smarty Pants Communist, Mr. College Professor, Mr. Beatnik, Mr. Hippie? What have you done for me lately?
Well, I,
Mr. and Mrs. Smith, go to the people. Ask the hands that serve the machines of America.
Hey, Smith! Hey, Smith!
Hi!
How are you doing there, fella? Yes,
hey, Smith!
Howdy!
Ask the postman.
Hi, Mr. Smith!
Ask the mailman. Ask the milkman. White with foam.
Ask the cop in the grocery store.
Ask the cop in the wood pile.
Ask the cop on the rooftop.
Ask that cop that's knocking at your back door.
Ask him.
Mr. Policeman, what makes America great?
It's candied apples and ponies with dapples you can ride all day. It's girls with pimples and cripples with dimples that just won't
go away.
It's spicks and wops and niggers and kikes with noses as long as your arm. It's micks and chinks and gooks and geeks and honkies who never left the farm.
That's America, buddy. Just remember, Abraham Lincoln didn't die in vain. He died in Washington, D.C.
I see. Well, who am us anyway?
We're one of you. And you're one of us, I think.
Maybe. Possibly.
Well, how do you tell? I mean, how do you know for sure? How do you ever really know?
They didn't ask questions like that back in 1776. No, they didn't have time back in 1776. Back in 1776, boy, they were too busy singing songs like...
Yankee Doodle came to terms, writing Martin Buber. Stuck a furor in our back and called it Shingle Goober.
Come on, Mr. and Mrs. Too Busy to Be a Homecoming Queen. Get in step with the voices of the feet already dead in the service of their country.
1829, in the midst of an ever-deepening sense of prosperity, Chester, Allen, Arthur climbed to the top of the bedroom wall, thrust his defiance at the Japanese and shouted,
"Get me them, or I'm going over there!"
But in 1934, in Germany, the specter of doom was rising its shrouded head in agony.
Das ist immer einen Horror! Und ich rauf mir einen toten Volkswagen und niemand steht beim Schwellpizza!
Sieg Roy! Sieg Roy! Sieg Roy! Sieg Roy! Sieg Roy! Sieg Roy!
Gee, Grandpa.
And did you come to her defense in those dark days then, lad? Well, they did. They came from the endless plains of Iowa, the lonesome trains of Illinois, the white trash mountains of Virginia.
You gotta jump down, spin around, pick a Benedict crumb. You gotta jump down, spin around, pick some 902.
Yes, them too. A lot of them. Mostly them, and not many of us. And that's why we're here, and they're there. So there, Mr. Monday Morning Quarterback, Mr. Wheelchair General. Are you going to turn your back on America's fighting men when he come knock, knock, knocking at your front door?
No!
Attaboy! Can't you see it now? As if it were almost tomorrow? Thousands of them!
Shoulder to shoulder!
That's right!
Heart to heart!
You said it, kid.
Satchel to page!
You got it!
Hey, you get it.
Oh, greetings from the President of the United States.
Oh, feet... Get moving!
Yes, sir!
What's that, boy?
Yes, sir!
What do you say?
Yes, sir!
Screak, English troop!
Yes, sir!
You ain't got no friends on the left!
You're right!
You ain't got no friends on the right!
You're left!
Hound dog!
One, two,
Poontang!
Three, roll!
Hound dog, Poontang, Coontown!
That's right!
Hound dog, Poontang, Coontown!
I'll see what I can do, Sergeant.
Elaine?
Honey?
Maury, please, don't come in now.
Why you got the lights off in here, baby? I gotta talk to you.
Maury!
Honey, look, this is serious. You gotta go out there and give yourself to those men.
I can't face those boys. Not now. Not yet.
Tomorrow ain't coming for a lot of those boys, Lily.
But, Maury, they're all wearing Bill's face.
Honey, we've all got up. Would you put that stuff down, please? What would Bill think? Excuse me, look, if it wasn't for those millions of boogies out there, the president of these United States would be named Schickelgruber. Baby, excuse me for saying it, but ever since Anzio, you've been acting like a spoil...
Oh, my goodness.
I'll get it.
Yes.
Telegram for you, Miss D'Angelo.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. This is for you, ma'am.
Thank you, son. Just a minute. Boy, come here.
Yes?
Where are you from?
Nairobi, ma'am. Isn't everybody?
This is for you.
Oh, thank you, ma'am. Just want you to know all the boys we be waiting for you out there. God bless you, Miss Lolene.
Let me see that telegram, will you? Honey, that's from Washington, D.C.
Oh, Maury, my mascara is running. You read it for me.
All right. Sit down, Lolene. This may be rough.
honey.
Yes.
The President of the United States is named Schickel Gruber.
I'm going out there, Maury. Help me into this parachute.
Oh, no, honey. You can't
help
go out
me.
There. It's too late.
Sit
I'm telling
me up.
You.
It's no. never too late, Maury. I'm going out there because I'm bringing the war back home. All right, boys. All right. Quiet down now. Here's the aid. The bloody big mistake we've all been waiting for. It's Lily Lamont. The war back home, where it ought to have been before. We'll kill all the bees and the spiders and flies. And we won't pay ice foxes lying on their sides.
Express our appreciation to the United States Marines, the British Commonwealth Occupation Forces, the French Legume, and the Hong Kong Fireworks Company, without whom all of this would not have been necessary.
Watching Babes in Khaki on the Late Late Show for a Saturday night. Stay tuned for Early Bird Theater when George Metetsky meets danger in the form of a beautiful woman in Lucky.
Anointed with oil on troubled waters, O heavenly grid, help us bear up thy standard, our chevron flashing bright across the gulf of compromise, standing humble on the rich field of mobile American thinking. Here in this shell, we call life...
Angels 3, Devil...
Odysseus! Odysseus!
Osiris!
My friend,
what has happened to your nose?
Well, you got people jumping out of them, and you got water dropping out of them. You really are, using your helicopter...
Hey, Swami, or whatever your name is, we'll be back with this Christ consciousness racket in just a minute.
No, no, Mr. Swine, it's Krishna consciousness, you see, to our people.
Shh. Hate cops, Guido. I always hate cops. Yeah, Nick, I hate cops, too.
Yeah, me, too.
I'll tell you guys what I'm going to do. I'll tell you what I'm going to get, even with every rotten cop in this city.
Yeah, me too.
How are you going to do it, Nick?
How are you going to do it?
You know what I'm going to do?
No, no. What you going to do, Nick?
I'm going to turn in my back.
Yeah. I'm going to burn my uniform.
Hi, friend. Ralph Sportsport, owner and operator of the world's biggest dealership, west of Baalbek. As you know, we're overdosed again with all dates and kilos. Let's just take a look at some of these fabulous lids. The LaGuardia report says this key should be copped for $10,500, an easy money sentence of a year to life, and nobody done. Our complete price to you, including sticks and stems and seeds, wine soaked and sugar cured, completely clean for your smoking pleasure, the complete price. Only what the traffic will allow in unmarked bills delivered to me, Ralph Icebag, in a plain brown wrapper by a brown shoot square in the dead of night.
Let's take a taste of this fabulous Yucatan blue, scored to you from the sky blue waters of that beautiful Mexican bay, and picked by naked little froggy native boys in their tight leather aprons, running through the fields by the sea. Oh, and the sea, crimson, sometimes like fire, and the glorious sunsets and the fig trees in the Alameda Gardens. Yes, yes. And all the queer little streets, and pink and blue and yellow houses, and the rose gardens and the jessamines, and geraniums and cactuses and Gibraltar. As a boy, where I was a flower of the mountain, yes, where I put the rose in my hair like the Andalusian girls used, yes. And how she kissed me under the Moorish wall. And I thought, well, as well him as another. And she asked me, would I, yes, to say, yes, my mountain flower. And first I put my arms around him, yes, and drew her down to me so I could feel her breasts all perfumed, yes. And his heart was going like mad. And yes, I said, yes, I will, yes, yes.
Today, we're going to be interviewing three of the greatest superstars Hollywood's ever produced.
You're too kind.
Why don't you introduce yourselves?
Hi, John.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. Go ahead, Chuck.
Chuck Bronson.
Clint Eastwood, John. Delighted to be here.
Clint Eastwood, Chuck Bronson.
You are so coy, dear. I'm Lee Marvin. Hi.
And Lee Marvin.
Sui.
They're here today to talk to you about something that's been on their mind for years, and they're coming out with it here for the first time. They have formed a group called the Hollywood Alliance, what, did I get that wrong?
Gay Alliance.
Mm-hmm. Gay Alliance. Now, I can't believe that you gentlemen are really gay. I mean, Charles Bronson, how could you be gay? I mean,
He's an actor. If I may speak for Chuck, who is one of the finest actors in the business.
This is Clint Eastwood, yes.
Yes. Chuck's an actor, and he, you know, what he does and what he's been doing is a wonderful act.
Oh, you're beautiful,
but
you know.
It's time to be real, isn't it, Chuck?
Excuse me, it's time to knock the closet doors down. It's time to bust him in, if you ask me.
I'll start the ball rolling.
Okay.
It's the Hollywood Superstar Gay Alliance, John, and we have been thinking about this for years, and it's an organization that we've started recently, I would say in the last 9 months.
It just seems amazing to me. Here you are, Charles Bronson, Mr. Macho of the screen. How could you be gay?
In the first place, you're presuming right off the bean that because I'm gay, I can't be macho. And this is a fallacy, a myth.
It's also a myth, if I may break in, to assume that what we are on the screen is what we are off the screen. And we're not. We're actors doing a...
I think the assumption is that if you're gay, you're bad. I mean, it's wrong.
And I think our biggest problem, if I may, Lee, is convincing some of our peers to come out with us.
It's amazing. What other people in Hollywood are gay? I know you hear rumors.
Who isn't, John? Let's put it that way.
Right. No, I think that's really stepping over the line. There are many heterosexuals in Los Angeles.
Name one, sweetheart.
Well, for instance, who?
Let's just get out in the open. This girl's heels are worn down with frazzle, just number one.
Who?
I lived with Jimmy Pearsall for 2 years, and I'm saying it now.
Lee, that's a real shock. That's a real shock.
No shock to me, Lee.
It's no shock to me either.
There are a lot of little girls on the set coming up now who just can't step forward like we can, and we're so happy to be able to help them out.
Like who?
Just Ken Howard, for instance.
Ken Howard, right.
Ken came up to me. He was shooting that dreadful series, whatever that was called, about the two solicitors, whatever they're called. Ken came up to me, crying her eyes out, said, where do I go? Who's going to take me? And I just held him and said, it'll be all right. And it was. It was. I mean, the show flopped, didn't it? Do they pick it up?
It's that kind of compassion that Lee, for instance, has, and Clint here, and Paul Newman, who's been
Paul
doing
Newman?
A tremendous amount of work for us.
Paul Newman is gay?
For gay, of course. Of course
I don't believe that for a minute.
Oh, well, this is...
Go down to headquarters and ask him, dear, really.
He's right there. He's typing right now.
Well, I know you've made movies with a lot of actors. Like, there was a movie called The Magnificent Seven. We've had Yul Brynner.
Picture.
And Yul Brynner. You've had James Goldberg.
Eli Wallach.
Now, they weren't.
Yes. Everybody in the film was gay, and I think that's how it worked, except for Horst. But
they called that the Summer of Sin when they made that movie, and we were...
Well, now that's just...
So Horst Buchholz was the only one in that movie who wasn't gay.
That's right.
Charles Bronson, now you made a movie, The Great Escape.
May I just ask where you got that belt, John? I'm sorry to...
Well, it's not fair. You should describe it.
I got a...
The buckle sort of looks like a snake.
I got a leather store on 10th Street somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
The Great Escape.
The Great Escape. You made that film with a number of... James Garner, you made it with.
Yeah.
McQueen. Mm-hmm. John Pleasance.
I'll never forget you and Steve McQueen on that cart when you were stuck.
You'll never forget. God. I think that's where I really got to know Steve well. He's
Steve
just,
came out just after that.
Now, you see, Steve's another small man.
He's not gay now, is he?
Well, but Steve is gay, you see.
He is.
There are some small men who are gay.
Oh, yeah?
I'm sure you'd like to know about a lot of people who are gay, and of course
I
we're not
like
here
to
spread the word on people who are gay. People who are gay and who don't want
show.
Other people to know about
it's
it.
Not a gossip.
That's
not
their a business. Show.
But we are here to say that we're gay, and we are the head of a rather large organization now of gay people who are proud to be gay.
If we told you right now who people were, I mean, who, for instance, Walter Cronkite.
Walter Cronkite is gay?
Casey Stengel.
Casey Stengel, I can't
the
believe
the old dog, you know? She has the biggest collection of tiaras I've ever seen.
Really?
For instance, there are people that you just wouldn't expect, you know, couples. I mean, people that don't know about couples, for instance. Mm-hmm. Linus Pauling and guess who? Just try to match them.
Dr. Spock.
And Dr. Spock.
Dr. Spock?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's not important who's gay or who isn't gay. What's important to us is that...
It's how gay they are.
How gay they are.
I'm being selfish, I'm sorry.
Now, you're making a joke of this. Is this a serious organization?
It's not only serious.
There's a lot of other gay groups.
He is always making jokes, always drinking. He's always a little bit out of touch.
This girl is a boozer, and she's not ashamed of it.
Oh, God, yes.
Bottle of wild turkey, and I'm happy.
Now, what about, are there any sports people that are gay?
Nitschke.
Ray.
I went out with Nitschke for 2 summers.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who used to be known as Lou Alcindor, is gay.
Oh, boy.
Everybody knows that, of course.
That's amazing. And, I didn't know that.
When he swims, it's a sight to behold.
Now, you can't tell me a guy like Dick Butkus is gay.
Dick Butkus.
Dick Butkus is gay.
You've never seen Dick Butkus in a muumuu. He's incredibly gorgeous.
What about some rock stars?
Jerry Garcia's.
Jerry Garcia is gay? This is incredible. What about...
The Beach Boys. All of them.
They've been going steady.
To run that by again, Sam. I'm a bit slow on the uptake this evening. Some nights it just gets worse than others, that's all. Some nights it just gets worse.
What gets worse? Now, on the end, doesn't it?
I can't shake it tonight. The feeling that I'm a walking anachronism. A guy who looks like he's 20, even though he was fighting Hitler's horde some 30 years ago.
Huh? Now, what made that old bugaboo creep up on you all over again?
A lot of things, maybe, all adding up. I guess it started when I fought the madman who took my place during the 50s.
Okay. So you were on ice for 20 years. But why pick tonight for this out-of-my-time jazz to get you down?
I don't know. It's just a feeling I've got. Like something's about to happen, but I don't know what.
Frankly, Shield Slinger, we don't know either. But if we all move our eyes exactly one panel to the right, we'll all find out together. Now.
Falcon! Duck! Ah, that's what I call cutting it close. You okay, old buddy?
Feeling no pain. Not yet, anyhow. But if that big bang had come one inch nearer, what was it, anyhow? Some kind of ray?
Sure looks like it. We're both lucky it didn't.
Luck?
Had nothing to do with it, fool.
Cap, oh, up there.
I see, Fal. I see.
Do you? Do you really? Then know that your treacherous eyes gaze upon the face and form of the Phoenix. Know, too, that you'll not escape my vengeance.
Vengeance? Is that dressed to kill dude an old sparring partner of yours, Cap?
Negative, chum. I thought he was one of yours.
Such wit in the face of adversity is admirable, but futile. Feel the fury of the Phoenix now!
I'll keep an appetite, Carlton. You get moving on the double.
But even as laser-like beams blast still another hole in the crumbling rooftop, Sam Wilson's ever-alert mind is already light-years ahead of his fast-churning feet.
Oh, like a bat, Red Wing!
So, Birdman, you sneaked up on me from behind. Precisely the kind of tactics I should have expected from you.
Save a conversation. Of course, I'm not behind you now, flame face.
Out of my way, fool! This is good enough for you. Ah! As for you, my red, white, and blue foe, I've no desire to kill you. Not right now. Not when I can make you suffer all the more by slaying the one you call the Falcon.
Sam spun. No way to reach them in time.
So watch, my friend, watch and grieve. Eh? My weapon's charge exhausted? Then your just deserts must wait, Captain America, until we meet again, perhaps tomorrow.
I'll be waiting, mister. He's agile, I'll say that for him. I've been known to do a little rooftop leaping myself, in the approved superhero manner. Hope it'll do me some good against the so-called Phoenix. You all right, Sam?
You must be getting tired of asking that question, Cap. One thing's clear, though. Namely, that I'm getting to be a real drag in the masked sidekick department. I wound up being nothing more than a hostage. If I hadn't been here...
That madman could still have picked me off. He just didn't want to, that's all.
Okay. You made your point. Now what? Had any second thoughts about who that might have been?
Not yet. I've had a lot of enemies in my day, though. And you can bet your beak I'm going to spend the next 24 hours going over the list. Maybe the Phoenix was just tossing me a red herring to keep me from guessing who he really is. But his taunts are the only lead I've got. Only thing is, Captain America's got more archenemies than most people have relatives. Power mad killers like the Red Skull. I thought he took the plunge a few months ago. But can I truly be sure he's dead? One thing certain anyway, it can't be Baron Zemo. He was a holdover from the big war, too. But a rock slide finished him off several years back. All in all, I buried him. Maybe the Viper. Dr. Faustus. Even Solar. Wonder if it could be Solar. That death ray of his. It's possible. Not likely, though. Why would he use a rifle instead of his own sun-powered superpowers? There's only one way to learn the secret of the Phoenix, and that's by building a better mousetrap. With one slightly used defrosted shield slinger as bait. Been out for hours now, though, and no sign of...
Hold up there, Cap. Me and Red Wing thought we'd come keep you company if you don't mind.
As a matter of fact, I do mind.
Huh? What's with you, partner? I just thought...
Look. I was going to go easy on you, not to hurt your feelings. But since you asked, I'll give it to you straight. I've been thinking about some of the things you said last night, and I've decided you are right the first time. The time you could have given me a helping hand was then, and you blew it. So go play with your pet birdie somewhere else, okay? Like the lady said, I want to be alone.
Okay, partner. Any way you want to play it. You want alone, you've got it.
I really hated to play that little number on Sam. Wow! But that Phoenix character wants me pretty bad, and I won't risk the Falcon catching one that's meant for Captain America. I've had a lot of partners in my time, and sometimes I think I've caused them a lot of grief. Those brave people putting their lives on the line for me. I'd better get back to business now, though, because if the Phoenix is still gunning for me, he can't help but see me up here.
Captain America in Times Square. And Mom told me New York was no place to go for my vacation. He's gorgeous.
He's still around?
Are you kidding, mister? My book is the great.
Funny. I don't seem to get a kick out of the crowds the way I used to. I'd better keep looking. No sign of Phoenix, so it's time to hit the road.
But though Cap searches everywhere, he finds nothing until...
Hey, Dirt! That guy must have run into something to muss him up like that, and that something may be the Phoenix.
He's after me. I've got to get away.
Easy, fella. You can relax now.
Captain America. Oh, thank God.
What happened to you?
Some costume nut with a ray gun just tried to kill me. He was raving mad, Cap. Said he knew I was you in disguise, that I couldn't escape his vengeance.
That sounds like my man, all right.
He was in the alley. That's him.
It is Phoenix. And if he is as bananas as you say, I'm not taking any chances. It's not the real Phoenix. It's a robot. But that means... Oh, some kind of gas. It's filling my lungs, burning them. I can't get any air.
It worked. Once more, Captain America's helpless before the power of the Phoenix. But this time, you star-spangled swine, you will not escape me. This dirty little alley is your final battlefield. Let that thought penetrate your oxygen-starved brain, Captain America.
But why? Why?
Why? When you've suffered as much as I have, you living relic, then you can ask that question, and the answer will come in the searing blast of my death ray.
Who are you?
Blackness descends. When Captain America opens his eyes next...
You recovered from the gas far sooner than I had expected, Captain America. But still, not soon enough to save yourself. The chains, of course, are far too strong for even you to snap.
What's behind all this, Phoenix? What madman's grudge do you have against me?
I would have thought my identity would have become obvious to you, Captain. My namesake, the spirit bird of legend that rises from the ashes of its own destruction to live anew, the death ray I used to lure you into my trap, the boiling substance in the vat below you. Or don't you recognize that substance? Adhesive X.
Adhesive X? It can't be. The villain who invented it died years ago. There's no way he could have survived. And you're years younger than he was.
Of course I am, you fool. Because the man you call a villain was my father, Baron Zemo. The man you destroyed. What do you really know of the man you murdered, Captain? You hated him for his work on behalf of the Nazis. But my mother and I, we loved him. He was a brilliant man, working tirelessly for the cause of the Third Reich. And you Americans condemned him for this. And when he invented a marvelous laser device, your papers called it a death ray and started an insidious propaganda campaign against its inventor. I remember it clearly, even today. The campaign worked. My father became the most hated man in Germany and had to wear a mask to conceal his face from those who would harm him. He was wearing it the day that you attacked him. He had just developed Adhesive X, the most powerful adhesive ever invented. Once applied, nothing could remove it. You were determined to rob the Reich of that discovery. Your shield crashed through the adhesive tank, spilling its contents. And in destroying the invention, you also destroyed the inventor. For the cursed mask he was forced to wear had become permanently fixed to his face, never to be removed. And that drove my father mad. Madness changed him. He even took his hatred out on his family. Then he left us, disappeared. Soon afterward, my mother died. Oh, I survived, but I was plagued by a burning hatred for one man, you. Then one day, I saw my chance. I returned to Castle Zemo. There, surrounded by my father's greatest achievements, I was determined to recreate his two greatest inventions, Adhesive X and the Death Ray, and use them to destroy Captain America. And, as you doubtless noticed, my dear Captain, I succeeded admirably.
Give it up, son. You don't really want to continue a battle that should have ended 25 years ago, do you?
Do you think a flowery speech will stop me now? You killed my father, and you're going to die for it in a boiling vat of adhesive X. The Falcon.
Good guess,
Tucson. The name of your destroyer is Phoenix.
They're both in Arizona.
Falcon, I left you back in the city.
You didn't really expect me to fall for that. I bought the big alarm routine, did you? I put a certified shield tracer on your own grand old shield. Uh-oh, I think I'm going to be busy.
Prepare to die, you flunky.
That time, Archie.
You can't escape my way for long, Falcon. You shall join Captain America in death. What? The accursed bird?
My brother Redwing has given me all the opening I need to put Son of Frankenstein away for keep. You don't know it, man, but you're just what the Doc ordered. I needed something to prove that my partnership with Cap was still a good idea. And, baby, you're it!
Falcon, ease up on him. He's not a real villain. Just a misguided fool still fighting World War II. It's no use. Sam can't hear me. But I can't let him injure the Phoenix. The war took too many lives, left too many hatreds unhealed. I can't let it go on. I've got to use all my strength as never before. Got to keep pulling and pulling until... Have to make it to the balcony. I'm only going to get this one chance.
Oof! What's the matter with you, Cap? You want that nut to get away?
Locking him up isn't the answer to 25 years of blind hatred. We've got to try to reason with him.
While those fools are arguing, they've given me the opportunity to finish them off once and for all with Captain America's own shield. Turning your back on me was unforgivably stupid, Captain America!
What? Don't be a fool, man. You don't know how to use my shield. You could...
He ain't fired it, Cap.
Guide my hand, my father, as I avenge your death.
This, I'll just try a hair.
But now it's heading back at the Phoenix. Dear God, I've got to try to save him. The big war just claimed another victim, Sam, and I couldn't save him. Wasn't it, Sam? The Avengers revived more than an out-of-sync soldier when they freed me from that iceberg.
What do you mean?
They revived a whole generation's hatreds. Hatreds that should have been left frozen a quarter of a century ago. Say it again, Sam. Say it isn't my fault. Maybe the second time, I'll believe it.
Goodbye, Captain America. Till we meet again.
Zero?
Yeah. Zero is a wonderful thing. In fact, Zero is my hero.
How can Zero be a hero?
Well, there are all kinds of heroes, you know. A man can get to be a hero for a famous battle he fought. Or by studying very hard and becoming a weightless astronaut. And then there are heroes of other sorts, like the heroes we know from watching sports. But a hero doesn't have to be a grown-up person, you know. A hero can be a very big dog who comes to your rescue, or a very little boy who's smart enough to know what to do. But let me tell you about my favorite hero. Did you ever stop to think about Zero? Zero is fantastic. Why, without the concept of zero, we'd never be able to multiply, divide, add, subtract, or even to count very high. My hero, Zero, such a funny little hero, but till you came along, we counted on our fingers and toes. Now you're here to stay, and nobody really knows how wonderful you are. Why, we could never reach a star without you, Zero, my hero, how wonderful you are.
What's so wonderful about a zero? It's nothing, isn't it?
Sure, it represents nothing alone. But place a zero after one, and you've got yourself a ten. See how important that is. When you run out of digits, you can start all over again. See how convenient that is. That's why with only 10 digits, including zero, you can count as high as you could ever go forever.
cavemen till the heroes who invented you. They counted on their fingers and toes, and maybe some sticks and stones,
rocks and bones,
and their neighbor's toes. Yeah, yeah. And nobody really knows how wonderful you are, why we could never reach the star without you. Zero, my hero, Zero, how wonderful you are. Place 1 0 after any number, and you've multiplied that number by 10. See how easy that is. Place 2 0s after any number, and you've multiplied that number by 100. See how simple that is. Place 3 0s after any number, and you've multiplied that number by 1,000. Etc., etc., ad infinitum, ad astra, forever and ever, with zero, my hero, how wonderful you are.
Esta inspiración